ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, March 5th, 2020. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins, as always. And yes, we are live Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And what time is that in Greenwich, David Wayne? Because that's not a time zone that I'm most familiar with.
You got to go plus five.
Okay,
plus so. Five, but that's going to change up next week because our clocks go back and theirs don't. So we get that confusing two-week period.
Where it says 2:45, but it's 3:45 for the kickoff time, of course. We're talking about soccer here. Yeah. So no, it does get confusing for 2 years, for 2 weeks. You know, it's funny though. People always wonder, how come you know geography so well? How come you know your time zones and geography? Well, soccer, football is how I know my world geography and my time zones.
Precisely. I can still tell you the time in Australia based on, you know, a sporting event that happened 20 years ago. So there you go.
Today on the show, we're going to talk about Major League Soccer and Facebook unveiling a partnership yesterday. Also going to talk about the first Atletico Ottawa player that has been announced earlier today also. We're going to mention his name in a second. But our leading story today, Dwayne, it has been official since February 15th, but it's getting traction now. Monterrey files complaint with FIFA over the Pizarro to Inter Miami transfer. This stems to video calls made by David Beckham to Rodolfo Pizarro trying to convince him to join Inter Miami, which I guess you're not allowed when the other player is under contract. Of course, there's more to this situation than just the Monterrey versus Miami. Pizarro has been, of course, famously fighting with his couple clubs and Liga MX over the last couple of years over transfers, over how his case has been handled and over his lack of freedom. Yeah, we've heard that before, over where he is going to play. This should be an interesting court case.
Yeah, if it gets that far, and obviously there's always the potential that this might get resolved outside of the courts. There's a lot going on here, and I think this is really worth digging into because there's a couple things, particularly from a Major League Soccer perspective, that I think are really worth exploring. The first is the most obvious one, and that is what David Beckham's involvement in this club is going to be. David Beckham is a guy, because of his personality, because of his profile, it's going to be hard to not have him be front and center when you're recruiting players. It's going to be hard to sometimes, it's just like, think of the basketball situation, Kevin, when LeBron might make a comment off the cuff about, oh, it'd be nice to play with my friends, you know, like, what's that mean? Is that tampering? Is that tapping off?
If it is tampering, there's been tampering happening in Major League Soccer for a long time. Just example in Montreal, we've talked every time Kai Kamara used to come to town and talk to his friend Dominic Audreau, like, oh, why don't you come play here? Why don't you come play here? Audreau was never charged with tampering, but you're right. It is a situation that we might need a clear-cut definition of what tampering is, and it's going to be interesting. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and look, it's also complicated that typically, you know, to use the English term, tapping up, that typically happens with the managers. Now, when we now have full, you know, GM kind of GM managers, and then this is an owner we're talking about here, it gets a little more complicated because at what time does it skip over from David Beckham going, you know, Miami's nice, to I am now trying to illegally talk to someone who has a contract? And look, I think that really what this comes down to is that David Beckham needs to not make video phone calls to players that are under contract unless, you know, and this is a novel concept, and not to be cynical about this, unless maybe that player understands to not bloody well mention it in the media immediately after, which I'm sure is what the conversation taking place in Miami is right now. Why did you tell them this?
Okay, do you really need to name drop David Beckham? You're Rodolfo Pizarro. You don't need to name drop people. That might cost you a lot, or might cost Miami a couple of millions, because we're not expecting the transfer to be annulled, if you want to use that term, and Pizarro to go back to Monterrey. No, it's too late for that. It's just going to be an exchange of money or check or something happening, or maybe a slap on the wrist by FIFA to Miami. But the thing is, I'm wondering how far it will go, if at all, to FIFA, right? It's been a couple of weeks already. But I wonder if FIFA's going to take a stand here, because you don't want necessarily to set a precedent there, because we've seen a lot worse. And if a precedent is done here, there's going to be a lot of tampering clauses in the next few, at least a few complaints happening in the next couple of months.
Well, it gets very confusing because of the structure of Major League Soccer, how you can't really put a transfer ban on Major League Soccer, which is essentially what you'd be talking about here, right? It's not the club, as we all well know, this is not the club specifically that is doing the negotiations. This is a transfer to Major League Soccer, and then then he's being placed on the Miami franchise within that. And we all have problems with that at some level, but that would make that complicated in terms of what the natural punishment for a transfer violation would be, a transfer ban. But you can't ban Miami specifically without banning the whole league, and it then gets very, very challenging. The other issue, though, I think that's worth exploring is to talk about how this affects, if at all, the relationship between League Maxi and MLS, which is obviously trying to grow and to get more involved. You know, we've seen initiatives like the League's Cup, like the All-Star Game this year, and say what we want about them. And we both have our opinions, which are quite bluntly stated, that one's a waste of time in my mind, and the other one I don't care about whatsoever. I don't know what the difference between those two things are. They're both seem like waste of time to me, but nonetheless, they do definitely speak to a belief that they want to better cooperate and have this sort of kind of conflict does not help that relationship. Now, look, I don't have a lot of sympathy for Liga Maxi here, though. And it's because Liga Maxi for years has had the gentleman's agreement, the gentleman's pack, where they sort of place players where they are. Now, they say they're cleaning that up. And I've talked to people down there that suggest, maybe they're not as public about it anymore.
Yeah, it's in the back room now. It's a bit more hidden, but which goes back to what I was talking before, right? That's what Pizarro's fighting about. That was the whole thing, and that's where it can get murky, is because of that, what you mentioned, the gentleman's agreement, and the fact that his movement was basically controlled from Chivas to Monterrey, and his personal desires were basically not taken into considerations.
No, precisely, and I think that this is an area that, and I talked about this when the CBA came out, that Liga Maxi really needs to address. If they want to avoid being overtaken by Major League Soccer, and stop laughing, it will happen if things keep continuing the way they are. It is not going as fast as what MLS fans would like, but there is definitely a trajectory of players more looking to come to North America, Canada, the United States, I mean by that, then come to Central America, Mexico.
Yeah.
The league is better still, which still gives them an advantage. They have a much greater professional structure below it, which means they will always have a better churn of players. That is the advantage right now. But if you're starting to lose more and more of your top talent up here, then that's going to be a problem for them if they want to keep ahead. And one way that they will definitely lose that battle is that they do not address players' concerns around their movement rights. And this, to me, at its root, is what this is about. Yes, David Beckham might be a bad boy here. Maybe he gets a little slap on the wrist. Maybe he's told to be a little more careful moving forward. But the real issue here is why this player was being held back in his mind by the Mexican League at all.
Yeah, I think there should be a book written about, maybe Tom Marshall could be writing that book of his handling from post-Chivas era, from post-CONCACAF Champions League era of Chivas winning, and then all the way to Monterrey and his transfer out of Liga MX to go to Miami. There's going to be, if it goes to the courts, which I doubt, but if it goes there, then that's where I think it might be actually dangerous for Liga MX to make it all the way there. There might be a backlash from other clubs to Monterrey, be like, how about you just deal with it and stop making waves and stop alerting people, because then they're going to come here and they're going to look at how we do stuff, and we might not actually fit into the code and into the ethics code of FIFA also.
I mean, look, there's lots of dodgy stuff that happens all over the world when it comes to transfers. And FIFA is not exactly the greatest overseer of it at all. I mean, in their defense a little bit, and that's a word that I don't often say, in FIFA's defense, it is a very vast world to monitor and keep track of. But yeah, this is why one of the reasons I've never been able to fully embrace Liga MX is because of this stuff. I mean, this seems sketchy, right? And as much as Major League Soccer might seem seem like it's a franchise league, that it's artificial, whatever. It's not sketchy. It's all up front what's happening.
Well, especially now, like the fact that it's more transparent and we know more about the transfers in league and the amounts and stuff, it feels more transparent, of course, which is not the case in Liga MX. But it is a fascinating story to see how it will unfold, see if Monterrey have any ground to complain about, and to see if FIFA does something about it, or if it's all a ploy to get a couple bucks more for Pizarro. Maybe that is also part of the equation, and I guess we'll know about it very shortly. But it is already into motion. FIFA denied comments on this issue, which I imagine they do whenever investigations are happening with FIFA. The complaint has been filed on February 15th or March 5th. We should know more down the line, but it is a very topical issue, and maybe it will cost Miami a bit more than expected to actually have Pizarro part of the roster for day one, which was last week. Another news from yesterday, Dwayne, Major League Soccer and Facebook partnership brings video recaps of every Major League Soccer match to Facebook Watch. I'm happy about the situation. It was only on the app, and I think we need to stress this. The recaps of Major League Soccer, Dwayne, have been really important in the growth of the media attention and the growth of the fandom of this league. Having now these recaps available on Facebook will make them easily shareable. You will have big moments, caught people's attention. It's a good way to grow a demographic that you cannot necessarily reach by going to the mainstream traditional route. I remember when I started following this league, Dwayne, around 2011, just before the Montreal Impact came into this league, I used a lot of the video recaps to get to know the entire league. I did not necessarily have time back in the day to watch 90 minutes of every team, but the video recaps did help me a lot to understand the context of the league, to understand teams, supporters group, colors, logos, cities involved, and more of the whole global narrative of this league. And I think it's a positive sign for Major League Soccer to partner with Facebook and have the recaps available once again for everyone, and in this platform, an easily shareable way for fans to make their friends discover why they become fan to begin with.
No, for sure. More content's better. And I always get confused when leagues start to clamp down on the sharing of content, the sharing of highlights. We're not talking about whole games here. It just grows your audience a little bit. Look, I as well, recaps the 20-minute MLS Live. I used to love those games. You know, it allowed me to watch basically every game every weekend, because I may not have 90 minutes to give up to, especially nowadays, but you could give 20 minutes up here and there throughout a week, so you can stay on top of things. So those kind of updates were great. You know, the only thing I'd say is that if you want to really get the next generation, you might want to stay off Facebook and more geared towards, I don't know, TikTok or something.
Oh, don't get me started on TikTok, okay? I still don't understand what it is. I know it's the new Vine and everything,
fine,
but why?
Fine.
Yeah, but what's? Can you put music on that thing? Are you allowed? Listeners, are you allowed to do like things with actual copyrighted music? Because if not, I'm going to start dancing on TikTok, put some music in the background, and get a million followers in about a week.
I don't understand TikTok. Like, I don't understand how one goes viral nowadays. Because, well, actually, I do understand how one goes viral. Basically, you are A, attractive, B, in your early 20s, C, you say something that on its surface is profound, but really is something sophomoric that everyone has said at one point in their life. It's an observation of life's mysteries, you know, that's, again, a little bit cliched. And then the other pretty people retweet it, and that's how you go viral. You don't go viral by saying anything
no.
profound. Old man yells at cloud, end.
Yeah, no, yeah, pretty much, I guess. Yeah. On that note, let's take a quick break. We'll ponder our existence, I guess, and come back and talk about, once again, the beautiful game.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/ Sports Podcasting Network. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. I'm Kevin Larmay, joined by Dwayne Rollins. If you're a fan of women's soccer, or soccer in general, played by women, you can find the latest episode of the Women's Soccer Review, where Jonathan Tannenwald is joined by Kevin Theorem of, I probably butchered his name and I apologize, women's soccer writer for The Athletic UK, also joined by Caitlin Murray. Both of them are authors also with Grey Book, Kieran's book about the history of the Women's World Cup, and Caitlin's book about the U.S. Women's National Team, history of that team, including now a reprinted edition with the 2019 triumph included in the book. You can find these books everywhere you find your books, but also you can find a great episode everywhere you get your soccer podcast. Look for the Women's Soccer Review or on the Sports Podcasting Network feed. Also, our Patreon podcast feed is available at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Premium podcast content available for you for multiple tiers, and your support is greatly appreciated. And we're back, Dwayne. Before we move on and continue to talk about other topics that we wanted to talk about today, Ben Fisk, the first official Atletico Ottawa Canadian Premier League player, and I guess it's also a shot across the bow because in his description they just omitted his year with Pacific FC. Why not? Shot across the bow, create a rivalry right off the bat. Why not?
Yeah, well, I mean, probably what attracted to him was some of that other experience he had there. Ben Fisk was one of my favorite players to watch in the CAMPL last year. Now, he's not a player that's going to jump out at you from a, like, oh, this is exciting for the future of the sport kind of player, because this is probably his ceiling now, but it's still good that a player like this will have a career in this league. He's a great signing for them that they can build around, and I think that he will have a long and successful time in Ottawa if he's so inclined to do so. It's a good move. They need to add, you know, 19 more at least? Well, 23 more. There's supposedly, by all accounts, there's about 7 or 8 players signed. That's what I've been told. Others have reported this as well. They have suggested that they're going to roll out like one a day in the lead up to their training camp. It's going to be very interesting to watch Atletico Ottawa, this spring, well, there's no spring season anymore, the start of this season, because they are really behind the eight ball. The Calgary, York, a couple other teams have already started their camps. I know in York's case, they've been training together for a month already too. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to watch, but Ben Fisk is definitely a good signing to start this with.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And you should look for more Atletico Ottawa news in the next few days. Of course, in Madrid, Atletico Ottawa will have their training camp in Madrid, which is not too shabby in itself, and we wish all the players of Atletico Ottawa all the best going forward. It'll be a fascinating year in the Canadian Premier League, year 2, single table once again this time. It will be different than last year, but it is, I think, for the benefit of the entire league going forward, a more balanced schedule, more balanced travel schedule also for the Canadian Premier League, which will start just in a month, and just a bit more than a month and 6 days for the Canadian Premier League. And you can find our content covering the Canadian Premier League on our Patreon page at patreon.com/sportspodcastnetwork. Dwayne and I will go deeper into what we're going to just talk about a little here, but we'll go deep into it, and we're probably going to have a non-PG, a probably rated PG-13 rant from Dwayne behind the paywall later this week. But Dwayne, over the last couple of days, a week or so, it was the U-20 qualification, and you have a lot of thought on the national team women's program and where it's going, where it was, and especially is deficiencies over the last year or so.
I'll save most of this for Two Solitudes, but when John Herdman was hired by the men's national team, he had the audacity to suggest that he had solved all of the women's problems. He said, "We identified a shortcoming, there was a shortcoming in the women's pathway. We identified it and fixed it." This made a lot of us that have followed Canadian soccer and have followed the women's program head explode when he said this. Okay, what he's talking about, Kevin, is the Rex program. The Rex program is an elite pathway kind of concept where they take the very best players from around each province, put them all into a single place, and have them compete day in, day out, you know, train day in, day out with other players of a similar skill, rather than dividing them out over a bunch of clubs here and there. They all have, on top of that, they also have super rex clubs, which are where they take the very best around the country and put them into one setting for the same kind of idea. Okay, since they put this in, Gavin, and I'll land it with this. There have been three under 20 Women's World Cups. In 2016, the Women's World Cup was in Papua New Guinea, the island Pacific nation. Canada, they did qualify for that. They finished 15th of 16 teams, only beating Papua New Guinea, the powerhouse that it is. The two World Cups that have happened since, 2018 and the one that just finished, failed to qualify. You tell me whether they identified and fixed the problem in the women's pathway. I don't know. The evidence sort of suggests otherwise. We'll save more for later. Two saltines, $2 a month or more on patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork.
Yeah, and I feel a rant coming on the staff of that team too later from Dwayne's part, which is, yes, warranted with the results. Results need to be taken into account. People need to be accountable. And we'll have that and more on the Two Saltines Soccer Podcast later this week on our Patreon page. Now, we're gearing up for week number 2 in Major League Soccer, Dwayne. There's going to be some great matchup, as always, and there's going to be some interesting, I would say, results, and we'll continue. What is your expectations now, post Yosef Martinez era in Major League Soccer in 2020? Does it, like, we had time now. It's been since last Saturday. We knew the news on Sunday. We've talked about it to death, but I'm wondering if it changes. Have you thought a little bit about what the Eastern Conference might look like? Is it too early? Could we see an upset already? Maybe FC Cincinnati going to Atlanta and beating the Five Stripes? I don't know. Do you see something changing? Is maybe the injury to Yosef Martinez enough to be that chink on the armor? Maybe to be that moment where Thanos bleeds a little bit and tells you that he's a bit human and beatable, and then you come back with all your friends 5 years later to beat him. Maybe Yosef Martinez was Thanos, and now without him, Atlanta finds themselves vulnerable, but especially to not have that invincible aura that it used to have. I'm wondering if that changed the landscape with you since last weekend.
I think it has to a little bit. Josef Martinez accounted for nearly 40% of Atlanta's all-time goals. This is not to suggest that they're suddenly going to be 40% goals down. They will find ways to create team goals there. They quite likely will bring in someone at some level to replace some of that offense. But there's no doubt when you have a player like Martinez that is scoring at the rate that he did, that is going to patch over some holes. You factor that in with, you look objectively at the game against Nashville last week, they were damn lucky to get that result. I know not everyone's thing is expected goals, but if you're into expected goals, they had a 0.8 on the game. That's not very good against an expansion team. They won that game on a wonder goal, which is maybe my favorite goal of the week. The chest up the volley.
Yeah.
He had a beautiful goal. But it's not a goal that's replicable, right? And that's with Martinez in the lineup for at least part of the game. And there's going to be a psychological hit on that. So if you're asking whether Cincinnati could pull an upset, I mean, it's Cincinnati, so let's not be too dramatic here. But certainly they're going to be psychologically vulnerable for the next few weeks, and they aren't going to be able to replace someone anytime soon. I think that they will spend the money to bring someone in. I think there's a possibility that they have enough allocation sitting around in their pockets that they might be able to even bring in a player that maybe not to be at the same level as Martinez, but will be, you know, a player that if any team brought in, you'd be excited about. So I don't think Atlanta is going to be towards the bottom of the conference, but I also don't think you can realistically call them a favorite anymore now that arguably the best player in the league, certainly the best top five player in the league, for sure. Not even arguing about that. It's gone.
Yep, it will be for sure interesting results. Maybe FC Cincinnati can pull off a result if you have money to spend on a bet. I think you can get good odds because odds maker are not that quick to react in Major League Soccer, especially if you go to different odds out there. Maybe you'll get good odds for FC Cincinnati versus Atlanta, and that could be a worthwhile bet. Now, before we say goodbye for today, Dwayne, it was an interesting Sports Center on TSN yesterday. Josie Altidore of Toronto FC appeared on TSN for this 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. Eastern SportsCenter. And you know what? Of course, TSN stands for the Sports Network, but maybe we should rename it Toronto Sports Network. I kind of thought it was interesting. It was kind of funny some points. And of course, he found a way to send some dig to the rivals of the Montreal Impact during his SportsCenter hosting. But it was a funny moment, and you can go to your television, and it's available for American listeners also on different social media platforms. Josie Altidore maybe has a future in TV broadcasting.
The biggest dig that he threw to his Canadian rivals was by not throwing a dig to the Whitecaps. They hate it when they're ignored out there. But he certainly did get a couple little digs in at the Impact. He said, it turns my stomach to see success for the Impact.
Yeah, because it's good. Yeah. But yeah, and yeah, that was I know it was kind of interesting. But you know what I thought was funny is when he had to host the show and interview Christian Jack on the new signing of Montreal and how this could be a good signing for Montreal. He had to ask Christian Jack the questions, and I thought that was funny because he doesn't want to talk positively about Montreal, but he kind of had no choice there, and I thought that was kind of a funny moment.
Kevin, just as a quick thought, do you want to know why about 50% of the sports content is about Toronto on TSN?
Because 50%
of the people... of the teams are from Toronto and the country.
I know.
Hashtag math.
Sure. And it's also Toronto, talk about it good, talk about it bad, but as long as you talk about it, I guess it works. But I'm surprised, you know, with Thierry Henry and with now Wanyama, the Impact are being talked about a lot in different platforms, including English Canadian television. Rarely did we see this before. Even when Didier Drogba was into town, it wasn't to the level of Thierry Henry being talked about on TSN. Of course, TSN does show the Montreal Impact game, so that does help also.
I'm sure that if Thierry Henry wants to come host SportsCenter, that they would be more than happy to have him there.
I can guarantee you that will never happen. I can guarantee you that Thierry Henry's last thing he wants to do is talk more than necessary into a microphone.
Yes, exactly. So there is some factors involved. Josie's a funny guy. Look, I mean, I've texted you. He loves to play the villain. You know absolutely that he's enjoying any pushback he gets on his little digs that he put in there, and he's going to have some fun. They also put the San Jose tying goal on there, and he goes, I don't even know why I have this on here. This is a terrible goal. The ball was fun. He's clearly joking, folks, but...
Yeah, you talk about Zola Ryan too, big. Oh, yeah. Saw him in the offseason. It's going to be a good signing. We'll see. But those are all interesting aspects. We'll be back tomorrow, of course, with the World of Football with a Soccer Perspective on Soccer Today with a preview of the weekend to come in Major League Soccer. Week number 2 is already upon us. We'll give our thoughts and our predictions and what the Canadian teams and a few highlights also. Key matchup in week number 2 in Major League Soccer. All that and more on Soccer Today, tomorrow, 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, for a few days till 4 p.m. Greenwich Time. And until next time, of course, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Larme, and this show at Soccer Today SBN. Podcast version available everywhere you get your podcasts and also on sportspodcastingnetwork.com. As always, until next time, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.